Mixtape Podcast. What's good, y'all? What's good, Knicks fans? I am Josh, so focused.
I'm French, the bro host, and we would like to welcome you to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
This is episode 62.
This is a weekly podcast where we cover the biggest Knicks news of the week.
Make sure you follow us on our socials. You can find us on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter by searching for the Knicks Take.
Also, be sure to check us out on our website, KnicksTake.com.
And if you love what you hear, please subscribe to us on the platform that you're watching or listening to us on. Hit the thumbs up button and the notification bell if you're watching on YouTube. And lastly, and most importantly, share this with any fellow Knicks fans that you have in your life, friends, family, anyone who probably doesn't watch the Knicks as much as they should, or if they watch every game, doesn't matter. Send the link out to them and they're going to enjoy the show. And we'll appreciate the support.
Appreciate it. All right. What's going on, French? How are you, my brother?
Everything good.
Everything
predictions
good.
From last week.
Was not hitting for apply. You.
It didn't hit for you. Wait, did it hit for you? Oh, it did. It hit perfectly for you,
it
actually.
Hit perfectly for me, yes. Because so. I had two ways I could have gone. I could have went 1-1 and still won. But I went 2-0 and it went really well.
I got to start predicting losses more often.
Yeah. This has been a good week. Knicks won twice, as we said. We're going to get into that. Knicks played the Los Angeles Clippers. They also played the San Antonio Spurs. And we're going to go into both of those games. We're also going to do the previews of the upcoming games. Tomorrow, the Knicks are going to be playing the Charlotte Hornets on Sunday. Then they'll be following that up with the Boston Celtics on Monday. Both of those games will have already happened by the time this podcast has come out. Then they will be playing the Atlanta Hawks and the Washington Wizards. We're going to do the previews of those games. But let's take it back to the top. This week's been a pretty good week, although right now, I don't know if anybody can tell, I'm not really feeling the best. But the show must go on.
You'll be all right.
And we're going to go over one of the two things that we did this week in terms of the San Antonio Spurs game. We were at Dave & Buster's. Mm-hmm. Where we had an autograph signing with Jalen Brunson, who signed one of our Knicks jerseys. He also took a picture with us. Mm-hmm. French.
Met some cool content Knicks creators. Shout out to Big Knicks Energy. Also linked up with CP from Knicks Fan TV. So it was their event they hosted, and it was really successful, and it was fun.
Speaking of Knicks content creators, I want to shout out Knicks Film School for the accidental promotion of the Knicks Take podcast on their YouTube. So shout out to them as well. Yeah. And now let's get into the past week's games. Knicks versus the Los Angeles Clippers.
In MSG.
In the Madison Square of the Garden. This was the return of none other than star Jay Barrett. He returned for the first time after missing two games due to knee soreness. He was very missed. And this was an amazing game from start to finish for the Knicks in particular. First half was a defensive game. It was 46-42 Clippers with the lead at halftime. There was lots of missed threes because this was, like I said, a defensive game. A slow start for Julius Randle, who we discussed ad nauseum last week. But he started to pick it up later on in the game. None of the Los Angeles Clippers stars, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Russell Westbrook, James Harden, none of them really killed us in the first half, and they would live to regret that. The Knicks' second unit played really well and worked very hard to score in the first half, as well as they kept the defensive intensity up. Second half saw a lot more scoring from both teams. But the Knicks' defense continued to shine, especially. Third quarter was very hard fought. Very back and forth game between the Clippers and the Knicks. Randle hit a tough turnaround jumper. RJ had a nice, tough scoop layup in that third quarter. Josh Hart drew a charge in the third quarter on Russell Westbrook, which was initially called a defensive foul, but was challenged and overturned. And that was one of the I would say that charge call that was overturned I would say that that was a defining moment, a turnaround moment for the Knicks moving into the fourth quarter.
Definitely gave us some momentum.
Correct. And quickly closed the third quarter with a clutch three. That's another momentum builder for the Knicks. And he was fouled on that shot, but wasn't called. And in the fourth quarter, the Knicks bench specifically, turned on the Jets. Bench unit started the quarter on fire. 13-3 run, you know, for the bench unit. It was a heart steal that turned into a RJ Barrett fast break dunk to put the Knicks up 7. Dante DiVincenzo had a steal and a layup to put the Knicks up 10. Immediately after that layup, he followed it up with a big offensive rebound and then a three-pointer to put the Knicks up 11. Fourth quarter, Knicks went up by as many as 17, and Ty Lue, head coach of the Los Angeles Clippers, called it a night, threw in the towel with 4 minutes and change remaining.
Knicks won, whatever.
Knicks won 111-97.
I was like, he taking them out with 4 minutes left in the game? They still could come back. He wasn't up by like 30 or nothing like that. You going to take all the starters out? I feel like Westbrook was balling. I just need a little more chemistry, and they could have probably made a run, but
I wouldn't say that I was shocked just by the way the game was going. Like, you got your starters in the game, and the lead is just ballooning. Like, what are you going to do? You can't put more starters into the game. You got the best players there already on the court. Mm-hmm. So if the guys that you got out there are already below, like, in a tough game, they're letting it go from 4 to 7 to 11 to 17. Like, you gotta change. I mean, I don't think it was at 17 when the starters were on the court, but the momentum of the game has switched. It didn't seem like there was anything that they could really do at that point in time. Mm-hmm. The Knicks were just executing on all cylinders. And I'm not really shocked. It's just kind of like, all right, let's take a rest. Let's put, maybe the bench will bring it closer, and then I'll throw the starters back in the game. Sometimes that happens. But shocked, I wouldn't say. I would say that once all of these Knicks kept hitting these big plays at the end of the game, you just got to change something and hope that you can get it close and then maybe steal the win at the end. But he couldn't just keep those guys out there. He had called multiple timeouts. It's nothing that he could really have done. So would I have done it if I was head coach? Probably not. But it is what it is. Let's move on. My final thoughts of the game. I thought it was an amazing game. Like I said, start to finish. Another great RJ Barrett game. 26 points, 4 assists, 6 rebounds. And he shot 50% from the three-point line. Feel like he's been a key to the New York Knicks moving the ball a lot. If you remember, in the first couple of games of the season, I felt like the Knicks were passing, moving the ball very well. And they had high assist games. I feel like as the knee started to get sore, you started to see that slow down a little bit. Now he's back again. 28 team assists to the Los Angeles Clippers, 21, which is a lot closer to the assist margin that the Knicks had in the first couple of games when he was playing well. Still has that knee soreness, so that might be something that we kind of monitor as things come along. Dante DiVincenzo had his coming out party. He had the big rebound, as I brought up earlier. Finished the game with 12 points, 6 boards, 1 assist, 1 steal, 1 block. Filled up the stat sheet. Julius Randle had a game.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was going to go, because I didn't see you write it then. I'm like, Julius Randle finally broke out of his slump, it looked like. He led the team in points, 27 points, had 10 rebounds. He ain't have 5 assists, but 3 assists.
6 Damn turnovers. Year,
25, 10 and 5 game.
And 6 turnovers.
I mean, he did his part.
He had a game.
He wasn't perfect, but he definitely wasn't as bad as he was against Milwaukee.
Yes. Beggars cannot be choosers. I definitely would prefer this inefficient, not great decision maker, Julius Randle, who still executes, to whatever the hell that was that we got in the first 4 or 5 games.
And the biggest takeaway for me from his game was the fact that he was 6 for 6 from the free throw line. He knocked down 3 threes.
That was clutch.
So, like, you know how we are with free throw shooting this season. And this was, like, the best free throw shooting night we've had all year so far, because only one person on the entire team missed a free throw. We went 7-for-18 from the free throw line, shooting 94%. Randu had his best game of the year. RJ followed him right up, coming back from the knee injury, finished with 26 points. This was just an all-around good team win right here, I felt like. Quickly led the team in plus-minus, even though he had 7 points. He is a plus-22.
The most important player that we have not mentioned is Mitchell Robinson.
Yep.
13 points, 15 rebounds, 4 steals.
9 offensive rebounds.
Absolute monster in this game.
Think about that. 9 offensive rebounds?
Yeah.
That's kind of crazy.
He's averaging at least 6 offensive rebounds in a game to start the season.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the first player, if he can do that for the whole season, the only player to do that since the 90s.
Yeah.
So, absolute monstrous game from Mitchell Robinson. Very important that we bring him up and big him up and give him his flowers, because he has been the best player, if not the second best player, on the New York Knicks for this entire season. And that's just, it's just been very important as far as our rebounding and our defense goes.
You seen that stat where Mitchell Robinson alone,
yes,
has more offensive rebounds than like 6 NBA teams, mm-hmm, so far this season? That's kind of crazy to me.
Yeah, that very crazy, but it's the kind of impact that he has shown glimpses of in the past few years.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's finally, it's not a glimpse anymore. That's just his game. So big ups to Mitchell Robinson. Appreciate everything that he does for this team. Everybody who's talking about, oh, we need an offensive center. We can't. Listen, guys, y'all need to appreciate what you got right now. Mitchell Robinson is, we are not the Knicks if Mitchell Robinson is on this team. If we want to replace him for a better player who can do the same things that he can do, all right, cool. But there's not many of those guys in the league. So don't be giving him up for a bag of chips or some of these other guys who can shoot. It's not that important. The Knicks are one of the better offensive, were one of a top 5 offense last year. And if you take out a couple of the games, the poor games that they had this year, a couple of the games without RJ specifically, take out that one game against the Pelicans, they would probably still be a top 5 offense this year. So we can do well with Mitchell Robinson.
Yeah, for sure. You want to jump into that next game?
Let's go.
Next game at Madison Square Garden. Me and you went to this game. Got to see Wemby in person for the first time. Victor Wembanyama, the number one pick.
Which game is this?
What?
What's the next game? Who are we playing?
All right, let me walk the people through it.
You can't walk them through it and tell them Wembanyama.
We went to Madison Square Garden to get a look at the number one pick in the last NBA draft. Victor Wembanyama, who was drafted by the San Antonio Spurs.
Uh-huh.
They came into town to face off with the Knicks. And this was a highly anticipated game for him. It's his first game at MSG. It was nationally televised on ESPN. And
he was not just drafted by the Spurs, by the way. He was the number one pick.
That's what I just said.
The number one pick.
I ain't just say that.
Number one pick overall.
And they tanked for him. The last time the Spurs tanked for somebody, it was for Tim Duncan and David Robinson.
And he was promoted as the biggest thing since sliced bread coming into this Madison Square Garden.
Since LeBron James, or since Zion. Because I feel like every 5 years they say it's the biggest prospect since LeBron James. The biggest NBA draft prospect. But yeah, Wemby came to the Garden. Game started off. Spurs got off to a slow start. The Knicks started the game off on a 13-0 run. And immediately, you said, game's over.
Mm-hmm.
Spurs can't take a punch in the mouth. And I was concerned. I'm thinking, Wembanyama, so far this season, he dropped 38 on the Suns, on Kevin Durant. I believe Devin Booker was playing that game too. And they won that game. And he's a better second-half player than he is a first-half player. So him struggling to start the game off and the Spurs struggling to get some baskets. I understand the Knicks are one of the best defensive teams in the NBA, but it's only but so much you can do with a guy who's like 7'5", 7'4", who can shoot from beyond the three-point line.
Allegedly.
He's close to the rim. He could just do a hook shot over it and it won't be blocked. But Mitchell Robinson definitely had him on smash. Isaiah Hartenstein had him on clamps too. The Knicks as a unit just played really cohesive. You could tell that they've been playing together for a few seasons. And the Knicks basically dominated the entire game from beginning to end. Grimes had some good moments. I felt like the standout performance for me from all the players came from RJ Barrett, because he's been having a great start to the season. And behind Mitchell Robinson, I felt like he's been the most consistent Knick. He's been arguably the most reliable Knick when he's been playing outside of like the two games he was injured. He's been the Knicks' best free throw shooter, which is something that we didn't think of that we would be saying to start the season. RJ was struggling from the free throw line his whole career, basically. And now he's hands down the best free throw shooter on the team outside of probably Emmanuel Quickly. RJ finished the game with 24.6 assists. Every single starter for the New York Knicks finished with a plus minus of at least plus 26. Emmanuel Quickly looked extremely poised this game, like I was just saying. Or actually, I wasn't just saying. I was talking about his free throw shooting, but Emmanuel Quickly did look very poised in his game. He was constantly making quick, decisive moves, leading to open looks for either him or his teammates. He knocked down some threes, got a few easy looks at the basket, got a nice steal on Wembanyama that led to an Isaiah Hartenstein dunk on the fast break. And it was just a good all-around night for the New York Knicks.
Who did you say was the standout player or the... Who would you say was the best player, the most important player in this game?
RJ Barrett.
Okay. I would probably disagree with you.
Why? You say Mitch?
Well, yeah. Yeah, because Wembanyama had how many points by like halftime? Two, right? He had like 2 points at halftime. And it was clear, like, when Wemby scored, it wasn't on Mitch. Like... And that was the guy, like, that's their guy. It's him and Devin Vassell. And he's the guy who's most recently, like you said, he came in the guard and he's already scored 30 plus points, 40 points, yeah, whatever. Wemby is the guy that everybody's like I said, that's who they were promoting. That's who they came. So you, that's who everybody's eyes are on. And you just have one player who's just like, I'm going to lock this dude up, no help. That's way more important to this game, I feel like. Yes, RJ finished the game with 24 and had 6 assists and all of that. And RJ has been, you know, it's between him and Mitch, right? Who the best players on this team is. And you can find stats to you know, support your theory either way. Mitchell Robinson is doing things that hasn't been done in years as a big man. RJ Barrett leads the team in this is an advanced stat, which I don't like to use on this podcast, but in advanced stat. This is an advanced stat, which I don't like. I can't say it fast. This is an advanced stat that I don't like to actually report on the Knicks Take podcast, but he leads the team in on-off rating, which means that when the Knicks are on the court, they play much better when RJ's on the court than when he's off the court. So you can find stats to prove which of these two players has been the best on the team this year. But this game, when the best player on the other end of the court can't score, I think he did eventually get to the double digit mark, but he was at 8 in the fourth quarter. You got to give Mitch that you got to give him his flowers for this game.
But he wasn't matched up with him the entire game. It was a lot of, it was like, he probably had like 6-7 possessions where he tried to score on Mitch, but it was a lot of switching going on. And I felt like maybe I got to rewatch the game, but on defense, Wemby was put on RJ.
Yeah.
And the old RJ Barrett would be trying to score over him and drive and get blocked and make some poor decisions. But this whole game, he looked like a real pro. And he made Wemby look like a real rookie.
From what,
and I haven't seen that all season.
From what I have seen from Wembanyama, his defensive pros and cons. The pros for Wembanyama is not one-on-one defense. It's as a help defender. So, yeah, he might have been on RJ, but defensively, you're looking for him to sneak into the lane to protect the rim. even though he's not their center. That's what it is with him. So he can be on RJ, and RJ likes to go to the paint, which kind of helps him defensively because he's not going to block RJ. He's going to try to block whoever RJ passes to. But RJ has been making all of the right reads, the right passes, the right decisions. So yeah, you're absolutely right. I was looking more to what Wembanyama was doing offensively. I was a little scared of him defensively, and apparently I didn't need to be because the Knicks had him figured out. And then offensively, I was like, well, I don't know if we have anybody. If he gets past Mitch or if he just stays at the three-point line, I don't know if the Knicks are going to stop him from scoring. But they didn't have to worry about that. So that, for me, is why you kind of have to look at Mitch. So
definitely had a great game, 3-for-4 from the field. I was expecting him to get the double-double before the fourth quarter even started. He had 5 offensive rebounds, 12 rebounds. He didn't even finish the game with a block, but he definitely had a strong defensive impact on this game. Mm-hmm. The Spurs definitely wasn't shooting great from the field. They was 9-for-34 from 3. I don't know why when we was watching the game, it just felt like they kept getting open look after open look. And Doug McDermott was just knocking down 3-for-3. I'm thinking like they're going to come back. But maybe that's just like...
They had a few stretches.
Third quarter of doom still haunting me.
They had a few stretches where it was like the Knicks didn't get back defensively. They had a few, you know, and it was just kind of like, it was little small, but significant stretches where you could see and you could be like, yo, what are the Knicks doing? But I kept looking up at the scoreboard and I kept seeing, well, the Knicks are shooting like 50% from 3, 48% from 3. The Knicks are shooting it really well from 3 and the Spurs are not. So even though there were those spurts where the Spurs did come back and really, like, they never, like, it got up to 30 at one point, but they were trying. They were trying, right? Yeah. You know, even though after, like, the first few minutes, I was like, all right, like, let me get something to drink. I'm ready for a nap. And then I kept feeling like that throughout the entire game. Like, oh, this is, I'm glad for the win, but this is, like, this is one of those wins where you're like, I really wish I could have been in a closer game when in the Garden.
I don't want to be in a close game.
For a win?
If I'm going to be in the building, I don't want it to be competitive. I want it to be a blowout. So I know I didn't waste my money.
No, I'll take the close win every time. Just the adrenaline there. The adrenaline you get when it's a close game and then you see your best players hit the shot. Or do the, like, if we would have been there for the game against the Clippers and to see Dante DiVincenzo get that offensive rebound and to shoot that 3, that is a feeling that we didn't get in the entire game against the San Antonio Spurs. So for that reason, it's like, all right, I'm ready for that. Like, it's great to be in the Garden, to chant and all that, and know that you're going to get the win. Yes, that's a good feeling. Mm-hmm. But that wasn't what the Spurs game was. That was what the Spurs game was. That I would prefer what we had with the Clippers, excuse me. I would prefer with that game because even though it ended up being a bigger, like a big victory in the end, you had that first three quarters where it's back and forth and you're seeing the big plays and the turnovers and the steals and all of that. We didn't get that. We saw steals, but it didn't have that same intensity in this game that it did for the first game. And I would rather have that. This game was over in the first quarter, like I said. Like, 11-0, all right, the Spurs ain't coming back. Like, they're going to make it interesting, but... Mm-hmm. And they barely made it interesting.
Yeah, this was a good old-fashioned over-the-knee ass-whooping. So, final thoughts. Julius Randle finishes the game with another damn near 20-10-5 game. He had 23 points, 16 rebounds, 5 assists. He's definitely improving on a game-to-game basis since we kicked his back in last episode. Reports later came out that his ankle had still been bothering him to start the year from the surgery that he had in the offseason. And now he says that he's starting to feel a lot better. Yep. So, what you think? We got to just kick his back in more often, or it was the ankle?
That's what I said. I said last week. Last week, all year, I was like, I don't care if he's playing well. Like, this year we came in very hopeful.
Yeah.
No, actually, I don't really believe that. Anybody who, and he said the same thing himself, like, anybody who was like, seeing him come off of surgery that happened in the middle of the summer and saw him walking around or whatever, and then like watch these first games and we're just like, oh, see Randall, you can't like, and granted, he hasn't gotten back to what he was last season, but to say, see Randall, every other year he's bad after he had the surgery, I think that you're just looking for some sort of hot take that you're hoping, you know what I mean? Like, there's not any real reason for you to look at, we haven't even been 10 games in, and to look at it and say Randall is going to be bad. Like, it was concerning how bad he was.
It was also kind of like, because he's playing so bad, you know that this isn't going to keep up. So eventually he was going to get his rhythm back, and it had to be something bothering him for him to be one of the worst players in the last 30 years. Starting a season.
I mean, even...
Because that's not who he is. Like, even when he is bad, he ain't that bad.
Right. Like, you knew it was for a reason. You knew that he was not going to play like this for the entire season. And, you know, we discussed it last week. Like, you got to give some amount of games to really be fair. Like, yeah. It's about being fair, right? Being about... And usually when you're fair, you're actually being accurate. You know, you're not jumping to conclusions. A lot of this was conclusion jumping. So, yeah.
Yeah, we try not to be too biased here on the Knicks Take platform. So we're going to give credit where credit is due. Randall has looked like the old Randall, where he's getting 20-10-5 games. He's still rebounding at a high level. Even when he was playing like how he was playing to start the year, he was always rebounding at a high level. He was still looking to dish off some assists. He just couldn't score consistently, and he wasn't really playing defense and moving really well on that end. But I'm looking forward to seeing him as the season progresses.
I mean, I wouldn't go that far, but I am hopeful that we'll have another season, you know, that we'll have a season that trends more to last season than to the season before last season.
Well, I can elaborate on it, because the reason why I'm looking forward to seeing him is because of this season that RJ's having next to him.
Yeah.
So that should mean a lot more open looks for Randall. They can't really double team him as much as they were in the past because of what his teammates are doing. He has Jalen Brunson and RJ Barrett, who both look like formidable all-stars so far this season. And Mitchell Robinson dominating on the defensive end, offensive rebounding at a high rate, one of the best rebounders in NBA, if not the best rebounder in NBA. That just opens up the game so much more for Randall, and he should be able to thrive in this system with these guys that he's been playing with for several years. So
I think you made an excellent point, and I don't know if you're done with your game, but
no, I got one more thing.
You got one more thing. Yeah. Okay.
Let's just close up it all for Randall.
I got so, but that was an excellent point. RJ Barrett has been seeing double teams, like probably the most double teams that he's ever seen in his career. And when you see double teams, that means somebody is open. And now, if he's playing the way that he's playing, you have to choose. Am I going to double Randall? Am I going to double RJ? Am I going to double Jalen Brunson? Or can I not double any of them because RJ Barrett is hitting three at a pretty nice rate? We know Jalen Brunson can go off to a scorching hot start from behind the arc. And Julius Randle last year, yeah, he wasn't hitting them at 40%, but he was shooting a lot of threes and hitting them at a rate that allowed him to come in as a substitute for the three-point contest. Mm-hmm. So now you have to pick your poison. And that's going to be great for Julius Randle. Mm-hmm. The flip side to that is Julius Randle going to make the right decisions when he's open behind the arc? And that is the thing where it's like, okay, I don't know if I want to say I'm looking forward to it, but if he does make the right decisions, let's go.
It's year 10. This is the time to do it. If you still feel uncomfortable making decisions and you're not being double teamed as much as you were in the past, I don't know what to tell you, but I got faith in Randall. Speaking of RJ and Brunson, they both hit 5 threes in this game. And you saw how, like, the game before this, the team only missed one free throw. Mm-hmm. This game, they went 15 for 22, shooting 68% from the free throw line. Against a more formidable opponent, I feel like that could come back and haunt them. So I just want the free throw shooting to be improved on the, all around for the team. Mitchell Robinson went 2 for 6 from the free throw line, and we need to be better on that end. Last thing I want to talk about with this game, Victor Wembanyama had possibly his worst game of the season. And going into the fourth quarter, like you said, he only had 8 points. Mm-hmm. We were talking about, well, could he score 10? And he ended up finishing the game with 14, 6 coming from the free throw line, where he was 6 for 6 from the line. And he also finished the game with 9 rebounds. But in the building, as you're watching him, he never really looked like he got comfortable. He probably had like a little stretch where he did like a little spin dunk. And yeah, he just never really got off. But even in an off night, most NBA teams would love to see their rookie finish the night with 14 and 9 rebounds. And he didn't really look like he...
I'm sure the Spurs were...
did too much to get to it.
Sure, I'm sure the Spurs were hoping for more than that.
Yeah.
Just an outstanding job, not just from Mitchell Robinson, but also from Isaiah Hartenstein. He also played a significant role in slowing down the Wembanyama train. And he actually, they did more than slow it down. They brought it to complete halt. So, yep.
But even on an off night, he still put up some like decent numbers. And I think moving forward, he's going to be really fine. I'm really not looking forward to seeing him come back to the Garden after the crowd was chanting overrated late in the second half. I'm like, I don't know if that's a smart thing to be saying right now, because this is just his first game in a very long career that he's going to be having. And he's going to remember that.
I'm gonna disagree with you.
I don't want to see him again.
I don't think any team wants to see their number one draft pick, who recently scored 30 plus points, go 4 for 14 for 28.6% from the field and miss all 4 of their 3-point shots.
And off night. All it is off night.
A lot of the final stat line numbers or whatever that you were just listing, it came in the last quarter when we already, like, they made their little push, but was anybody really scared that the Knicks were going to lose this game? No. So, like, he could have very well finished the game with 8-9 points, less than 10 rebounds. Actually, I think he had 9 rebounds to end the game. Mm-hmm. And that's not a good night for anybody who's in your starting lineup when you're shooting that poorly. His percentage practically could have been worse, yeah. if that was the case. So, all right. So now that we're done with those two games, we have the upcoming games. Tomorrow, the Knicks will be playing the Charlotte Hornets in Madison Square Garden at noon, November 12th, 2023. Everyone is listed as healthy. Charlotte puts no fear in my heart. Bad defensively in almost every category, while New York is a top 10 defense. Charlotte thrives in the paint. New York is top 10 in opponent points in the paint, which means Knicks play pretty well defensively in the paint. So if that's where you thrive, it's not going to be easy for you to score against the Knicks. New York Knicks, top 5 in points off of turnovers. Guess where Charlotte is not good at? Opponents' points off of turnovers. I'm suspecting that the Knicks are going to start their streak off with 3 wins. And this is a very bad matchup for the Charlotte Hornets. The Knicks are going streaking. This is going to be a win. And yeah, it's going to be nice to see LaMelo come in and take a nail.
Yeah, I agree with every point you just made. I failed to mention that the Knicks got back to 500 with that last win against San Antonio.
4-4.
So now they're 4-4, tied for 7th place in the East, I believe. And with this win that they're going to take against Charlotte, we're going to be back over 500 after that slow start to the season. And yeah, Charlotte isn't good. They're 3-5 right now. Their leading scorer is Terry Rozier. He averages 22. LaMelo's healthy. He averaging like almost 9 assists. But they're going to need a lot more help and to be a lot more consistent on the defensive end to stop this Knicks team who seems like they're getting their groove right now.
Knicks are actually 6th. They're tied for 6th with the Miami Heat, Toronto Raptors, and Orlando Magic, who are all at 500, 4-4. Mm-hmm. And right behind the Milwaukee Bucks, who are 5-3. And I would say that the Knicks probably are going to, yeah. They're going to go ahead of the Milwaukee Bucks when all is said and done, unless the Milwaukee Bucks can turn it around.
So you want to go into the next game?
Yeah.
Knicks are going to go to Boston for the next one, face off against the Celtics one more time, November 13th at 7:30 p.m. on a Monday. And I feel like we extensively talked about Boston in the past, so we don't got to go too much, but they're sitting at second place right now in the East, right behind Philadelphia, who surprised me so far this year. I did not expect them to start off the season at the top of the top of the East, but yeah, they're sitting at second place. Their record is 6-2. The Knicks will get their chance to extend this winning streak and get revenge after losing game one at the Garden. So I'm predicting that the Knicks will get another win against the Boston Celtics. What do you think?
Knicks lost to the Celtics the first time.
It's a close game, though. And it took an outstanding Porzingis for them to get that win.
I am torn because the Celtics could have shot better. And that's kind of predominantly their strength is shooting. But the Knicks played them very well while two of their three best players weren't playing well.
Exactly.
And if you want to say three of their four best players, you could say that also. Actually, no, we will say that. Mitchell Robinson is definitely in that top four of the Knicks right now, with how consistent he's been. If Mitchell Robinson does not have another showing like he did in that first game, that's his only bad game of the season. As long as he doesn't do that, and we hit the Randall and the Brunson that we've seen, I want to say that the Knicks will win. Not ready to go there yet, though.
Yeah.
I'm ready to call. I want to see more against good teams. So I'm going to call this a loss for the Knicks.
I don't know if I'm going that far. Because of everything you just said about Boston is why I feel like the Knicks have a better chance to win, because what are the chances we're going to get a 5-for-22 and 6-for-21 night from Jalen Brunson? Emmanuel quickly seems to have Boston's number every time he faces off against them. He had 24 points the last matchup, tied with R.J. Barrett, who had 24. If we get another R.J. Barrett game alongside a decent Julius Randle game and a better Brunson game, this game shouldn't even really look like the last game at all. It should look like more in the Knicks' favor, in my opinion. The only thing on the other side was Jaylen Brown didn't have a great night.
Here's the one note, that the key note that you didn't bring up.
What's that?
This is the second half of a back-to-back.
For who? Oh, for us?
For the Knicks, yes. Knicks play Charlotte on Sunday. They play Boston on Monday.
Charlotte going to be a blowout.
It is. Well, I'm hoping it's a blowout, which is why it's a torn decision for me. Because if it's a blowout, yeah, I can see the Knicks beating the Boston Celtics. But the Knicks are playing the Hornets at 12. Then they're going to be heading to Boston. Yeah, it's a little bit more time because it's a new game. But still back-to-back game. If they struggle with Charlotte more than we expect, we got players playing 35 minutes. 38 minutes. Then they got to go to Boston, play against that team. It's just a lot for me to say that the Knicks are going to win a back-to-back, especially with how I think the rest of the week is going to go. Anything else you want to say about Boston?
I didn't realize it was a back-to-back. Now I'm thinking, like, they probably going to approach Charlotte with, like, let's save our energy and just...
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
So maybe it won't be a blowout. Maybe they I don't want to say it, but if they lose to Charlotte, they're going to show up for Boston and have all their focus on that game, I feel like.
You already called a win, so let's move on to the Atlanta Hawks.
It still stands. Streak continues. The Knicks are going to be two games over 500 when they go into Atlanta, so you take it from here.
Should have been paying attention to the schedule, sir. I was like, why did I say that? Oh, yeah, because it's a back-to-back. Knicks at Atlanta Hawks on Wednesday, November 15th at the Phillips Arena.
Mm-hmm.
Atlanta is 5-3 currently during this recording, and they're also tied with Milwaukee for second, I want to say, in the standings. No, fourth. Tied with Milwaukee for fourth in the standings in the Eastern Conference. The beginning of the Atlanta season, I felt like it's been kind of Jekyll and Hyde-ish. We beat them already. I don't think Atlanta is good. I think that we are a very good matchup for Atlanta when we have Mitchell Robinson. So I'm predicting another Knicks W as long as Mitchell Robinson is there to do what he does.
Yeah, it came down to the wire last game, I remember.
Yep.
And if Trae Young just hits that floater, they would have beat us. But before
or,
I get
or
to
connected
line
on
over,
that lob to Clint Capella.
Yeah, Clint Capella didn't look like he was ready for that pass. He thought Trae Young was going up. That was a pretty high scoring game. I feel like the Hawks, they hadn't won at that point in the season yet. And I feel like they put up the most points against us so far this whole year. And I don't see that happening again. Every other team that we've played pretty much held them to around 100 points. Most of them under 100 points. So I see a better defensive effort against the Hawks. And with Julius Randle playing as good as he is right now, I see this being another Knicks win too. So that's three straight for me.
And I brought up that lob specifically because who was the defender on Trae Young?
Mitch.
Exactly. Like, you're bringing up points as to how much better the Atlanta could have played, but the reason they didn't play that well is because of the main guy that we got at the five, bro. We got Mitch. They're not gonna do anything against us. And to me, like, it's not a back-to-back situation. There's no saving up energy for the next game. Like, that Atlanta Hawks game, that first game, they were like, they had another game right after that. This is its own singular, you know, they have a break before it, a break after it. They can really focus on this game. I think the Knicks could have played better against the Hawks, and I think they will play better against the Hawks. And if Mitch is healthy, we win in easy. Okay. So let's move on.
Next game, the Knicks will face off against the Washington Wizards at Capital One Arena on November 17th, Friday, in-season tournament game. The Wizards, I said this year, was going to be a lot better. It doesn't seem like that's coming to fruition.
I don't know why you said that.
Because I thought Jordan Poole was going to unlock himself, and you feel me? Like, he's a bona fide scorer. And after he dropped 40-something on us in the preseason, I'm like, all right, Jordan Poole is going to be all right this year. But right now, they're sitting at 2-6.
Yeah.
What's their standard? They're the second worst team in the East right now.
Yeah.
I don't see them getting a win against the Knicks as well as we're playing right now. So
nope.
We're going to have to count this for another win.
You're not
four
scared of,
straight
you're not,
wins.
You're not scared of Kyle Kuzma? I didn't even hear you bring him up.
Not when they playing that bad. They just lost.
It's just
to the Hornets. They lost to the Hawks. Yeah. Heat. They losing to everybody.
This is a very soft part of the schedule for us. Yeah, Wizards are bad. People predicted them to be bad. I didn't think that they were going to be worst team in the league bad. And currently, they're not the worst team in the league. That's the Memphis Grizzlies. But boy, oh boy, is that team bad. Yeah, we shouldn't. I got no analysis for this. Knicks should win this easily. But then again, they lost to them in the preseason. So who knows if Jordan Poole comes out with a masterclass shooting performance, Kyle Kuzma shows up. Knicks don't really take him seriously. That could happen also. But yeah, I also have the Knicks winning this because this is a game that they shouldn't lose. And they need to rack up as many wins as they can before they hit more rough parts in the schedule. Yeah. I looked at the schedule earlier this today, and I said, oh, we don't play Philly until 2024. That's great. Right? So with that said, I said, huh, you know what? Last month we did how many games in October are the Knicks going to win before the month is over? And I said, maybe we should do that again after I looked at how many times we played Philly. So our Knicks topic / Knicks take of the week, November games. Mm-hmm. What will the Knicks record be at the end of November? So now that we're closer to 10 games in, I feel like this is a great time to really say, okay, we can predict November.
Yeah, we already got 2 wins in November.
We're 2-2 in November.
I just predicted 4 straight wins.
And I predicted, I just predicted 3-1. But I wouldn't be surprised if you were right, French, with the 4-0. So my 3-1 would make us 5-3. And then we have, I don't know how many games we have left. But I'm going to predict an additional 5 wins. And the Knicks will finish November with 10 wins and 4 losses. And they will have a 12-8 record when November ends. What say you? I think that you're going to probably be a little bit higher than me.
Yeah, I have 11 total wins for November. The only game I see us losing is Minnesota, maybe. I think we're going to beat Miami. We're going to beat Phoenix. We're going to beat Charlotte twice. We can beat Detroit and beat Toronto twice.
Just giving up all your predictions, huh?
Oh, no. Toronto's in December, my fault. So, yeah, I don't really see many teams really being able to compete with us. At least not right now, because it's early in the season. These teams are still getting, like, Phoenix hasn't played Devin Booker, Bradley Beal, and Kevin Durant together, and they don't really have much outside of that, those three.
Right.
Miami, they're that's going to be a tough game. I'm going to go to that game. You're going to that game as well.
Yep.
So we'll see, but I feel like we can beat Miami. Minnesota's the top defensive team in the NBA right now. That's why they give me a little cause for concern. But November isn't really a tough month. We play Charlotte twice, 3 times in this month, Detroit, and then, like, that's pretty much it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I looked at the remaining November schedule, and I was like, oh, we can really make up some ground here and get to the top of the Eastern Conference if we play exceptionally well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, the games have to be played. And obviously, sometimes NBA teams don't do what you think they're going to do. Sometimes teams come and surprise you with an onslaught from three. You know, teams lose games that you would expect that they would win. So obviously, we're going to predict, you know, each week and see where it's going to go. But yeah, I think this is a really sweet schedule for the Knicks. So yeah, that I think that's all we got, sir. You got anything?
I feel like this is the period where I was predicting that 15-game winning streak. Am I off?
No, you said in December.
Okay.
You said starting in December.
All right, but so yeah, we should be good. I think that talked about every game coming up, every game in the past week. So that was the next topic of the week.
Yep.
I think we're pretty much good to go right now.
All right. Once again, thank you guys for watching and listening. Make sure you check us out on our website, knickstake.com. Find us on all of our social media. You can find us on any podcasting platform.
Mm-hmm.
Also, be on the lookout for the merchandise. As you can see, those of you who are watching, I was wearing a Knicks Take beanie.
I got the dad hats ready for y'all.
Yeah. And we're going to have that ready for you. We'll announce it on the podcast as soon as it's available. Otherwise, we appreciate you guys. Thank you.
To bid you adieu.
Thank you, Hudson Valley Podcasting.
Thank you for listening to
the Knicks Take Podcast.
Peace.
The Knicks Take Podcast. Yeah, what it do? My